Just a heads up, those who were interested in the the greeting team. There you go. The greeting team that met down here last week. The plan is this Wednesday, during the Wednesday night time in here when we normally meet, we're going to have training for that greeting group. Okay, so if you came down last Sunday morning, that means you have to be here Wednesday night. All right, so make plans to be here. Many of you have already started, if not finished, the training online. Wednesday night, we want to kind of give some practical things that we can be doing, especially with Easter coming up next week. So I just encourage you to be here Wednesday night for that training. If you can't be here, see me, and we can talk, and I can give you a quick run through of what we're going to be doing. So make plans to be here Wednesday night. Be here on Wednesday night anyway, but especially this Wednesday night if you're a part of that group. So this morning, we are going to look at our second message in this two-week series, so the last message in this two-week series on church membership. Last week, somebody told me after the service, you kind of ran through that. I could tell there was probably more than you wanted to cover, but you ran through it. There was a lot I had to cover. Same thing this morning. A lot I've got to cover, so I'm going to talk real fast so you get to listen real fast, okay? So the second week of a two-week series, the last sermon of this series, last week we saw why church membership is important. Last week we asked, why should I be formally committed to a local church? This week we're going to ask the question, how should a committed church member live? How should a committed church member live? What does it look like to formally be committed to a local church? So this morning is very practical. A lot of things that show us how we ought to be living. So you should not walk away from this service and go, I have no idea what the application of that sermon was, because basically everything that I talk about this morning is application. Okay, so that's what you should walk away with, application. How should I do this? How should I live out what was talked about this morning? This morning, you in your bulletin, hopefully, you got a copy of our church covenant, our current church covenant. On the back side of that sheet in your bulletin, there is a proposed and updated church covenant. Basically, what I did is I looked through our old church covenant, updated the language, and there were a couple of places that changed a couple of things to what I believe are more biblically faithful. So you've got a proposed updated church covenant and a current church covenant there in your hand, hopefully. What we'll do at the next quarterly church conference, this will come up for your vote on whether or not to accept this as the new church covenant. So hold on to it. We'll have those out in between now and then. I believe the next conference is the third week in May. Excuse me. So keep that handy. We're going to use that today during this message. I'll be using the proposed and updated church covenant as I walk through it. We're not going to cover every single line that's in this church covenant. We might be here a little long, but we're not going to be here as long as we could be. So be thankful for that. So let's say a word of prayer before we get started, and then we're going to jump right in. Father, we thank you for your grace, your goodness to us. Lord, we heard Melissa just play, we are so thankful that you are with us, that you're walking with us, just as we're reminded from Scripture that there is nothing that you're unaware of that we go through in our lives, that you are constantly aware of our circumstances, and we are grateful, thankful for that. And so this morning, as we look at our church covenant and what it means to live life as a group together, as the local body of Christ here at First Baptist Church, help us, Lord, to do that faithfully. Help us to have a better and clear understanding of what that means this morning. So Holy Spirit, help us and teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what should a local church member, a committed local church do? And I'm going to give you five answers to that question. Five answers to the question, what does it look like to be a committed church member? How should we live? Number one, pursue holiness. Pursue holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, without holiness, apart from holiness, no one will see the Lord. Sin is not supposed to persist in the life of the church. We're going to sin. We're not perfect. We're going to sin. But as Christians, we ought to be committed to not seeing those sins persist in our lives and in the life of our church. We're meant to be a repenting people. We're living lives of repentance daily. Now, sadly, the church is not known as a holy group of people. We're just not known to be that. Our rates of adultery and unfaithfulness in marriage, our use of pornography, our materialism, our self-centered living, our lack of joy, all of those things work together to send a message to the world that is much louder than any message that I can give. When the outside world, when those who are not Christians look at the church, we are sending a message that is not always one of holiness. And so when people look at the church, they don't see a difference. They ought to see a difference when they look at the life of a church, the way church members are living. And so look at the second paragraph of your church covenant. It says, "We determine, therefore, by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and strength." So members, when you joined First Baptist Church, you committed yourself to work for the advancement of the church in holiness. And so I ask you this morning, are you striving for the advancement of this church in holiness? We cannot serve God with our lips and reject Him by the way we live. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." Members of First Baptist Church, we are committed. We're committed as a group of followers of Jesus to pursue God in holiness. Number two, pursue your family. Pursue your family. I often pray, "Lord, help me be a better husband and a better father than I am a pastor." It's easy for us to neglect those who are closest to us. But we have a responsibility to pursue, specifically to pursue holiness in our families. So we see in the third paragraph, "By God's help, we further agree to cultivate personal and family devotions. When this church was founded, the people gathered together and they asked, what should we look like? And one of the things that they wanted to look like, one of the things that they wanted to make clear is that they wanted to pursue holiness in the context of their families. This is the wisdom not just of our church covenant, it is the wisdom straight from God's word. Passages like Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8, "Hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Moms and dads, you should be teaching your children. You should be discipling your children, disciplining your children. And if we as a church can help with that, whether it's a kids ministry, children's ministry, preschool ministry, youth ministry, praise God that we can do that. But moms and dads have a responsibility, not the church. The church has a responsibility to come alongside the family, not to take the place of the family. So moms and dads have a responsibility to feed your children, but not just physically. You're to feed your children spiritually. I mean, it is our responsibility as a parent. We have to remember that. Parents, it's what we do as followers of Jesus. If we're going to be obedient to what Jesus has called us to be as moms and dads, we've got to spiritually feed our kids. And it's in our church covenant. If we're going to be obedient, not just to the word of God, but be faithful to our church covenant, we've got to do that with our families, pursue our families. So we pursue holiness. We pursue holiness in the context of our families. Number three, pursue the body of Christ, the church. The author of the book of Hebrews argued that there ought to be an observable commitment to the local church. It's not simply a commitment that you make with your mind. It's not simply a commitment that you make with your lips. It ought to be seen, an observable commitment. Other people are supposed to be able to look at your life and my life and know that you are, in fact, committed to the local church, to the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So what does that mean for us as members of First Baptist Church? Well, primarily it means this. You are not here for yourself. And I know that's, in our culture today, that's hard for us to hear because everything is about me. But we are not here for ourselves. Primarily why we're here is to bring glory to God. Secondarily, we are here for one another, for other brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not here for ourselves. I mean, we see this all over, really, in our church covenant. I mean, the scriptures tell us to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We're to be an encouragement to one another. It tells us in our covenant, we make this covenant with one another. One another. It's not, I make this covenant between me and Jesus. We make this covenant with one another. We promise to follow Jesus with one another. Look at the beginning of the second paragraph. We determine, therefore, by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk by myself in Christian love. No, to walk together in Christian love. We are to pursue the body of Christ, not alone, but together. So pursue holiness in the context of the local church, the body of Christ. How do we do that? We give you three suggestions for how we do that. First, be present. Be here. How can we encourage one another if we're not here? If we don't see one another regularly, how do we do that? How do we spur one another on to love and good deeds? Now some of you will quickly say, Well, Jason, I'm here every Sunday morning. Most of the time. Well, sometimes. At least once a month. It used to be that a faithful church member was in church three times a week. Three times a week. Do you know what it is now? The stats bear this out. A faithful church member is expected to be at church not three times a week, but three times a month. How did we get to that place? Where church is not important, where other things, it's not that church isn't important, it's that we've made other things more important. We've elevated other things. So how do we do what, not just God's work, because let me say this, I didn't say this at the beginning, our church covenant, don't ever think that I'm elevating our church covenant above God's word. Our church covenant is a summary of what God's word tells us how we should be living as the local church. So God's word is the foundation of our church covenant. And so how do we walk together in Christian love? Well, we come together regularly. Well, some of you say, well, okay, and how often then? What's regularly? And I'm going to answer it this way by saying I'm not going to answer it, because what we all need to do is to evaluate our hearts, to really come before the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, am I being a faithful, committed church member? Am I at church? I hesitate to even say the word enough. Regularly. to help fulfill our church covenant. Now, I would say biblically and historically, Sunday is the Lord's Day. I mean, that's what Sunday is called in the Bible. It's what the English Puritans referred to as the market day of the soul. We're at market. The business that we're about is the building up of the saints. Today is the day that Christians, since the first century, Sunday, since the first century, Christians have devoted themselves to seeing spiritual growth in their own lives and in the lives of other believers around them. So if you're a Christian, and certainly if you're a member of First Baptist Church, I believe that you should lead your family to worship on the Lord's Day every Sunday. It's my belief, it is my conviction. Not just because of experience, but because of God's Word. So Sunday morning, you ought to lead your family to worship together. We have Sunday school that is there for you, a time of small group Bible study. It's there to be a benefit to you. But it's also undoubtedly an opportunity for you to benefit others, to encourage others, to care for others, to serve others. Sunday evening, we gather, and we typically been used in a couple of different ways. More recently, as for us, as a teaching time, a training time. It's not a miniature Sunday morning on Sunday night. It's different than what we do. It's more of like a family time on a Sunday night. And I hesitate to even say it that way. At least once a quarter, we use Sunday night as a prayer and praise testimony night. We come before the Lord in prayer, and we praise Him for what He's done in our lives. So if you miss out on those, you're missing out. And so that's what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And I believe you should be here. You should be here to encourage others. You can't do that if you're not present. Second way we pursue the body of Christ is be accountable. Look at the second to last paragraph of the covenant. We pledge to watch over one another in brotherly love. We pledge. We promise. We commit. To watch over one another in brotherly love. That means that we will be concerned for one another's physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. And we will go out of our way to build one another up in the faith. That means that sometimes we will have to challenge one another if we see someone that's a part of this local body of Christ, someone that's living in sin. Now, sometimes we will see sin and we will overlook it because love covers over all wrongs. But sometimes we will see sin, and for the good of that person's soul, we will go to that person and we will say to that person, "You should not be living like this. You should not be doing this." That's part of what it means to pledge, to commit, to watch over one another in brotherly love. If you're a member of First Baptist Church, you need to be willing to be accountable. You can't just be somebody who's committed to pointing out everybody's sin, and just that's as far as it goes. You know, every time you see sin, you're quick to point it out. You have to be someone who's actually willing to have your own sin pointed out. We talked about that a little bit last week, Sunday morning and Sunday night with church discipline. That's the ultimate example of what we're talking about here. But church discipline, some people automatically go to the negative where we're kicking people out of the church. That's not what church discipline is. Church discipline is meant for our good. It is not always negative. So be accountable. The third way we pursue the body of Christ is by serving. As members of the body of Christ, specifically members of the church here at First Baptist Church, we are called, we are meant to serve the body. Service in the church is not limited to the pastor or to church committees or to the deacons or to a Sunday school teacher. Every follower of Jesus has been set apart to serve. Everybody. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are meant to serve. You're a priest. There's an off-quoted statement that says in any organization, 20% of the members do 100% of the work. I pray that that would not be the case with our church. 20% is not enough to meet the needs of our kids. It's not enough to meet the needs of our youth. 20% is not enough to care for our church body. 20% is not enough to welcome guests. 20% is not enough to be able to do the ministry that we believe God is calling us to do. 20% is not enough. We have to be willing to be sacrificially giving to avoid what we're currently looking at, cutting the budget currently. We've got to be willing. If you're a committed member of First Baptist Church, we want you to serve, not to just come in and be a consumer. We all ought to be serving. You should want to be a part of that 20%, which we pray will eventually be 100% of our church members serving. A committed church member pursues the body by being present, by being accountable, and by serving. Number four, pursue the word. Look again at our church covenant. The second paragraph says, we are to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and strength, to uphold its doctrine. When First Baptist Church was started, they embraced the fact that knowledge and doctrine are important and that we have a responsibility as members of the church not to simply receive knowledge and doctrine, but to uphold doctrine with our lives and in our minds. If we are truly committed members of the church, we will radically be committed to God's word. Not just with our mouths. Yes, I believe God's word is true. You will be committed to God's word. I pray every week, God, would you give me the confidence in your word to build the church, because I can't do it. Only you can do it by your word. So we've got to be radically committed to his word. We've got to be like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17, where it says that they received Paul's message with great eagerness and that they examined the scriptures to make sure what Paul was saying was actually true. And I encourage you to do that with everything I say. Don't ever leave this place and say, man, I trust what Jason says is right. And don't go back to the word to see that to check it. Please do that. Be a Berean. We ought to be like Timothy, who was urged by Paul to watch his life and doctrine closely. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about the church? What do you believe about creation? What do you believe about heaven? What do you believe about hell? The doctrine and teaching of our church can best be summed up in our Confession of Faith, which is the Baptist Faith and Message 2000. It's easily accessible online, or there are little books that you can get from Lifeway that are inexpensive. You can pretty much get them anywhere. But Baptist Faith and Message is not a complicated confession of faith. It's effectively what Christians have believed for 2,000 plus years. So pursue the word. Number five, pursue the lost. Look again at our church covenant, the third paragraph, second line. We endeavor to lead our children to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to instruct them in the scriptures and the spirit of this covenant, and to seek the salvation of our family and acquaintances. In other words, as members of First Baptist Church, we commit ourselves to be evangelists. We don't promise to let evangelism be done simply by those who seem to be better equipped to do it. Members of First Baptist Church, we are not a social club. As I said last week, we are not just a rest stop. We are a boot camp that is a place that gets us ready to be sent out by the Holy Spirit to be evangelists, to tell people who don't know Jesus that they're going to hell. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then we should want to do something about that. And what we're called to do is to be ambassadors of our King, to go out with the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and what he's called us to do. The previous paragraph, it says to contribute to the spread of the gospel to all nations. We're a church with a mission to seek the salvation of our family and our acquaintances. If we're going to be faithful to what we believe our mission statement currently says, to be and make faithful followers of Jesus, that means that we're going out and sharing the gospel. Yes, to be a faithful follower of Jesus is one thing, but to make followers of Jesus, faithful followers of Jesus, is a completely different thing. One's focused on self, the other's focused on others. Are we going to be faithful with the gospel? Do I want you to be encouraged? Yes. Do I want you to be strengthened? Yes. Do I want you to love one another? Yes. But I want, through all of it, I want you to be equipped to be salt and light in a world that does not know Jesus. Pursue the lost. We need a conviction that hell is real, that heaven is glorious, and that God ordains messengers to take the message of the gospel to lost people. Well, that's five. There must be 1,001 more ways that we could be committed member of the local church, but these 5 points I've given you to remind you what it looks like to live for the glory of God in the midst of our community, to be and make faithful followers of Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And our goal, our hope, is that you would become a follower of Jesus. We're of the opinion that these things, these responsibilities that we've been talking about, these things that we lay before ourselves as members of the church, these things are really good for us. We think this is good stuff. Look at the opening line. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is how it begins. Having been led, it says, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Our covenant begins by saying that we as a church have been led by the Spirit of God to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So everything we do as a church is a response to what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has already done. They've already done it. What we're doing is responding to that. It's what it means to be a faithful member of a local church. Our membership is the fruit of the gospel. Christ gave himself for us. He died a death for us, one that we deserved. He rose from the dead, and it is only by grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do any of this. So if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus the way that I'm talking about knowing Jesus, then I would tell you, turn to him. Admit that you are a sinner, a rebel, that you need forgiveness and salvation from your sin. Trust that Christ is able to save you. If you're a Christian this morning and you're not a member of a local church, seek membership. Seek membership. The Bible Now, I said this last week. The Bible doesn't really have a category for a Christian who's not a member of a local church. It doesn't. And so if you're a Christian, you're not a member of a local church, seek membership. It does not have to be here. I'm not trying to persuade you to be a member of First Baptist Church. If you want to become a member of First Baptist Church, praise God, we want you to come. But if it's not here, join a church. Pursue membership somewhere so that you can link arms with other people for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus. If you're a member of First Baptist Church, but you really know deep down inside that you're not committed, I would just urge you to consider the points of this sermon today. Talk to somebody about what's keeping you from living a life of committed church membership. Every one of us are freed up to serve in the local church. All of us. And that ought to be, we ought to be able to say with a clear conscience that we are committed to Christ here in the local church. If you're a member of First Baptist Church and you are committed, praise God. Praise God that you are faithfully living for Him, serving Him. Praise God that the Holy Spirit is working in you and you're allowing Him to pursue you as you pursue Him. Now, before I close, I want us to do something. If you're a member of First Baptist Church, hopefully you have one of the handouts in front of you. If you don't, there's going to be words on the screen for you to read. But I would like us to read together our church covenant, to reaffirm our church covenant together. So if you're a member of First Baptist Church, I'm going to ask if you would pull the side that says proposed and updated church covenant, if you would pull that out. It's going to be on the screen, and they're going to follow along. So if you would read along with me. Having been led by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and on the profession of our faith in Him, having been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we do now prayerfully and seriously make this covenant with God and with one another. We determine, therefore, by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and strength, to uphold its doctrine, ordinances, and discipline according to the teachings of the New Testament, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expense of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations, to identify and cultivate our spiritual gifts and dedicate our energies to the service of Christ's kingdom, to seek to lead others into its fellowship to the end that His kingdom may be promoted. By God's help, we further agree to cultivate personal and family devotions, to endeavor to lead our children to a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, to instruct them in the Scriptures and the spirit of this covenant, and to seek the salvation of our family and acquaintances. To give no man cause to speak evil against us, we will seek to be just in our dealings, to be faithful to our commitments, to set the proper example in our attitude and conduct, and to avoid conversation harmful to others and inappropriate anger. Realizing that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we will avoid things that are harmful to the body, exercising self-discipline and cultivating purity in our lives. We pledge to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. Furthermore, when we move from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with another church where we can carry out the principles of God's Word and the spirit of this covenant. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that this covenant begins with the knowledge that we have been led by the Spirit of God to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And therefore, we know that you protect us from a salvation that's based on our own works, and that you root our salvation in your finished work. And we are amazed, Lord. We're humbled by what you have done. We pray, God, that you would grow us individually, spiritually growing. Lord, that you would grow this church. That we would be a church that has deep roots. But also, Lord, we would be a church that's reaching outside of its walls to reach other people. That you would grow this church with individuals who are sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we would be eager, Lord, we would be eager to see the gospel proclaimed. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and what you are going to do in the future of our church. And we pray this in the precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, would you respond? Stand and respond as the Lord leads you.